Welcome to the Veritas Equipping Podcast, a podcast designed to provide insight, resources, and biblical wisdom. Our mission as Veritas Church is raise up mature disciples, send out everyday missionaries, glorify God. Join us as we pursue Jesus to become mature disciples and effective disciple makers for God's glory.
Veritas, welcome to our Equipping Podcast. We want to have conversations as a church that help equip you to follow Christ, and we have something to talk about today that has landed close to home for our country, and it's been on the 24-hour news cycle, and that is the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was a political leader who often went to college campuses to debate openly students and ideas, who was an outspoken Christian. And if you've been watching the news at all this week, you've no matter what station that you've been watching, you've been getting a take on this. And as a church that's called to care for your souls, if you're being fed things and we're being silent about it, we're not shepherding you well. So we want to do a podcast where we're kind of processing this out loud to help give you some guidance in thinking biblically in this. And I'm here with two of our pastors, Michael Rhodes and Matt Hofer. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Are you like, you feel like, why did you ask me to be on this podcast? It can seem to be like, is this just, this is just a tense,
sure.
Hot topic, full of emotion, fresh news cycle.
Every single person has a thought on it.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this isn't like we're simply speaking to a small group of people. Like, everyone knows this happened. Everyone has a thought on it. And you're trying to somehow speak biblical clarity into just a lot of chaos and confusion.
Yeah. Let me just ask, were you familiar with or follow much of Charlie Kirk before this happened?
I would say I was familiar with him. It's not like I was listening to his daily radio show. But I knew of him. I'd watched videos of him. Probably hadn't gone into the depths of Turning Point USA or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say same. From familiar, seen video clips, read some of his things, and really was just intrigued by how he debated people and how he seemed to, at least in the video clips that I saw, remain relatively calm and could have a discussion with really all types of people.
Yeah.
And so that was just intriguing to me.
And, sure. And I think it was obvious that he professed faith in Jesus, mm-hmm. right? And none of us can see anybody's heart, right?
Right.
But he professed faith in Jesus, and he professed it publicly, and that came out in his political belief. So that was intriguing too. Like, man, this guy seems to be letting his faith shape the way he lives.
Yeah. I mean, I got to be honest. There's no secret that, I mean, I'm not the most dialed in human being on the happenings of our world and social media and all those things. But when I found out about the killing of Charlie Kirk, or that he was shot, my first reaction was like, where do I know that name? Where do I know?
Sure.
Like, I wasn't that familiar with him and his work. And then it kind of led me to like, oh, let me watch some videos and catch up on that. And just super intelligent guy that articulated not like a conservative political worldview, but also a biblical worldview, and in an open format of what was his thing? It was just kind of a set up a tent and debate me.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah. And giving the other side a chance to speak. And now in a debate, it can be feisty or when you're arguing for ideas. Yeah. But I think, and this is with a little bit that I watched, one of his kind of stances was, you know, if we stop talking to each other, that's when problems happen. Yeah. And he certainly invited that kind of open dialogue. Mm-hmm. But so you have the assassination. I mean, 24-hour news cycle. Like you said, Matt, everybody's got an opinion. I mean, people are jumping on this. What do you think it's revealed of just the temperature in our culture?
Yeah. I think it's just another example of the fact that the division's high in our country, right? So political, religious, and so on. I think a lot of people would say we desire inclusion and tolerance, and yet you look at how the world plays out and it's far from that, right? And so we just are really in a place where if you don't agree with me, you're wrong, you're a threat to me. I'm going to surround myself with people who see the world like I do, and any outside voice, whether true or not, is a threat. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, gosh, you just see more examples of that and just how polarizing certain things can be. And so, I mean, even now it's like you have people who are celebrating his death and you have people who are grieving his death as much as they might a parent or a brother or sister, mm-hmm. and just everywhere in between. It's just like, gosh, this is just another example of evil and division and lack of unity, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would fully agree with that. Just a hatred of people who don't agree with you, mm-hmm. Is, and I wanted to like say like, oh, this is probably the most division or the clearest division in our country. But I'm like, well, 2020 was pretty bad with COVID, mm-hmm. but it just continues to spiral, right? Yeah. We see in Romans 1, like here's the spiral of, yeah. of sin.
Yeah.
And when we exchange the truth of God for a lie, this is where it goes, mm-hmm. goes. So we shouldn't be shocked by it, but still it is revealed, man, this is deep. And we know it's deep, but still, there's tremendous division mm-hmm. in our country.
Yeah, and this is kind of escalating that or shining a spotlight sure. on it. Mm-hmm. Not only division, but maybe the hostility behind the division.
Yeah,
a demonization, the way we talk about one another to one another, in a very politicized world. I mean, yeah. he was a political figure.
Yeah.
But it's just everything gets used as talking points because politics is a lot about gaining power. So if there's an opportunity to kind of advance my side, you see people jump in that or defend it, and that's just on full display here. So we see our world reacting that way. How should Christians be responding in this situation? Yeah.
The first thing that popped into my head is – even here's the thing, Christians did respond in a certain way, right? And that can either be a variety of things. And so when you asked that question, I think my first thought was a good way to respond is even just evaluate, like, what was in my heart that caused me to respond the way that I responded? Mm-hmm. You know, and so like if I mean, I see some people who claim to be followers of Christ who are happy. And it's like, what's in your heart mm-hmm. that is celebrating the death of somebody created in God's image? And if in fact he is a true believer, what's in your heart that's causing you to celebrate the death of a brother or sister in Christ? And then, you know, on the other side, it's like, if you are so like enraged and so fearful or anxious or whatever adjective you want to throw in there, it's like, what's in your heart that isn't trusting the sovereignty of God? Mm-hmm. You know? And so, I mean, I even think, we didn't plan this, obviously, but just the appropriateness of Daniel 2 on the Sunday mm. after this happened of like, what should a Christian's response be? Trust in God's sovereignty, driven to pray, driven to praise God. I mean, obviously, I think mourning is fine. Grieving is fine, mm. right? But you're grieving with hope. Mm-hmm. I think that's an accurate response.
Yeah. I mean, the timing of Daniel 2, I just wrote an article. I don't know when it'll come out. Of my own personal conviction, Michael, from your message, and we talked about this privately, of just feeling like I identified a lot with Nebuchadnezzar more than Daniel, and mm-hmm. just when situations happen, emotion, mm-hmm. I'm going to force fix this in my own power, and Daniel has this disposition of just calm down, mm-hmm. slow down, pray, speak up, and it's coming from his confidence in God. Especially in getting the interpretation of that vision of like, he's saying, yeah, bad empires will exist. Evil yeah. is going to reign yep. in this world. I win in the end, and that should hopefully be our disposition. But it can seem like having a confidence in God and his sovereignty does not mean we don't mourn
correct.
When sure. evil things happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean we don't advocate for righteousness.
Right.
But there is a disposition of as
calm and peace.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've talked about this many times, lament, because our world talks about lament in one way. We just need to sit in this grief over and over and over. But all throughout the Bible, lament, there's a turning. There's mm-hmm. a turning back to the Lord. And so for Christians to grieve through this time is totally good, fine. If like if you can't grieve over a man being murdered, a father being murdered, father of two young kids being murdered, a husband being murdered, like if you can't grieve over that, man, something's going on in your heart, like you said, Matt. But you can't stay there as a believer either.
Yeah. And I would say, I mean, the Christian disposition of the dignity of a human life should go both ways. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is in our politicized world, it's like, I mean, you go back to 2020, it's like, okay, there's a young African-American that's been shot by the police, and there's a sense of, well, we don't know what all the facts are. And it's like, true, we should be slow and patient and not jump on the police or not take but also someone made in the image of God was killed.
Sure.
And we should grieve that. And the same thing when it's like, okay, we know that this is a professing brother of Christ, somebody in the image of God. So I think just our disposition of heartbrokenness over corruption and should be consistent.
Yep.
Now, I think where it starts to – there's another layer in the people's responses online now where, man, I'm just saddened when – and I'm not on social media. Every now and then I'll get on my wife's social media. But to see some of the Christian response to the somebody that disagrees with them, it's like heartbreaking as a pastor to go, whoa, like somebody lost their job because they made a terrible comment about the death. And then the person came back later and said, I was wrong, I'm sorry. And I saw a Christian respond, not a Christian from our church, but a Christian respond with, I don't care what you have to say now. I'm like, wait, somebody's apologizing and you don't care?
Which is very anti-Christian.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And we can get sucked into the emotion of it and not represent Christ well. And the odd thing is, like, especially around this issue of Charlie Kirk, who was so open to, like, let's talk. Let's communicate. There's a phrase that's been thrown out there that maybe depending on where you land on this, you'll either love it or react against it. But he's been referred to as a Christian martyr.
Sure.
Now, there's a sense of, like, every Christian who dies is not a martyr, you know. And then there's like Stephen, the first martyr, preaching the gospel, stoned to death. And then in between, there's like this kind of spectrum. And Charlie Kirk was killed for expressing his views about sexuality and gender that's based on his Christian faith and the biblical teaching. So there is a sense of like, yeah, you were... In that sense, you were killed because of voicing Christian beliefs. But it made me think of like, okay, how should Christians respond? And I went, and this came up with a conversation with some other pastor friends, but you look at Stephen, who's what was his response when he was dying? Forgive them, Father. You know, which was the same as Jesus' response on the cross. So is our disposition... We need to get those people. Like, we need to, you know, like, dig in our heels, kind of anger, fight, or is your disposition like, oh, my goodness, look at the brokenness of our world. These people don't even know what they're doing.
Right. Yeah.
They're so blinded by sin.
Yeah.
They're so lost and deceived.
Yep.
Father, forgive them. Like, show them the gospel. Help them get this. So hopefully, even in the midst of our understandable righteous anger to sin, we would have the disposition of Christ on the cross and Stephen getting stoned, of wanting people to come to Christ.
And that's 2 Corinthians 5, to be an ambassador. Right. Like, you're representing Jesus by the way you post on social media. Like, you're representing Jesus in all these ways. So if it's an unloving, unforgiving, non-gracious response, man, that's sad, you know? But also, like, I'm not saying you can't be truthful, but there's a demeanor. Like, you know, speaking the truth in love, that's part of the demeanor too.
Now, how do we tend to handle these situations as a church? Because we got some emails with some frustration on why didn't you say more about that Sunday? And it's kind of matched our MO from past, you know, culture events, which can frustrate people. But why do we tend to handle that? I mean, we often like, hey, let's do a podcast on this. Yeah. Let's talk about it. But yeah. But Sunday morning's been unashamedly guarded for, you know, get to the text. Let's get to scripture. Let's worship yeah. God. Like Sunday is about the worship of God, not necessarily the broad, what I would say is the broader discipleship of our people. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, let's take some extended time and talk about this. Yeah. So, yeah, why do we tend to handle it like we do?
I think our job as pastors, shepherds of our people, is to care for their souls. Like, that is the primary thing that we're to do. And we know that the best soul care is soul care that points you to truth and points you to Jesus, something greater than the world. Mm-hmm. And so for me, like as a pastor, I go, the best thing I can do during really dark times is point people to something that's stable and solid, where the man builds his house on the rock, right? And the wind and waves come and it doesn't sweep him away. And so I think our the way we've typically handled these things is, man, let's point our people to the rock, something really steady. I mentioned kind of lifting their eyes off the things of the world. So I think we've typically said we're going to err on the side of pointing people to Jesus rather than chasing a political news cycle as much as, you know.
What would you say, though, because I've heard this critique of, like, Veritas doesn't do a good job of addressing cultural and political issues in a very politicized world. There's a part of me that's maybe back to that Nebuchadnezzar response of like, time out. Like, we've done podcasts on abortion, immigration, gender, sexuality, homosexuality right. from the pulpit. We've said those things. I would say, like, no, we have. Now, guarding of Sunday morning is a very clear, like, this is the intent of the gathering. Yeah. And we can give some announcements and we can point some things, but we're laser focused, unapologetic, what's going to happen on a Sunday morning. And then sure, like, oh, we need to decide. We need to address this. Are people wrestling with it? That's why we do those extra podcasts. But that's been the critique, that we don't do a good enough job. Do you think there's some truth to that, that we need to look at ourselves? Or how do you respond to that evaluation?
I'll speak specifically.
Because it comes from both sides.
Right, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's the thing. You're going to say, if you say nothing, you offend people. If you say something, you offend. And so it's like you're going to make people mad no matter what. I don't think our motive is to not make people mad or to not offend people. Yeah. Right? There was zero thought that went into, like, we better not say his name because somebody might get like that.
Yeah.
That wasn't our MO at all.
Which, if that, I would say, if our motive was fear of man,
correct.
Then we're in the wrong.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. 100%. I even think at our other meeting, we said, I don't think we did anything wrong by not saying anything, but maybe we missed an opportunity, right?
And it's not that we didn't say anything.
Sure. Right. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
We made reference to the events of the week, which was beyond just, there was the school shooting in Colorado and the
stabbing in Charlotte.
Subway. I mean, it was the whatever year anniversary of 9/11. So like all within a week or two, you just had all the
full
stuff
week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think go back to our elder conversation because I think it was helpful.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is just one of those things where I think we did acknowledge, we didn't intentionally not say anything, but we also didn't intentionally say anything either. And so maybe I think if we were to go back and do something different, if something like this happens again, I'm even just circling up quick as an elder team and just be like, hey, this just happened. We all know this just happened. What, if anything, do we need to say? Just being more intentional there.
It is interesting. Oh, go ahead. Well, I was talking with Mark and Jeff, and I got on and watched their service on how they handled it, and I felt
for people who don't listen, Mark and Jeff are pastors at Veritas Iowa City.
Yeah,
just for context. Yeah.
And I felt convicted as a pastor because I thought Mark led this like more intentional time of prayer. Like they were pretty vague in there, like, hey, here's, we had a full week, we need to reflect. And I felt like, oh, we should have been more intentional in our guided prayer time. And I felt like We missed an opportunity for that, but they had some people that were upset with the way. And one person said, "Why couldn't you do it more like Saint Rabbit?" I was like, "There is a sense of there. If you're looking for something specific,
yeah.
Oftentimes nobody ever hits your mark." Because you say something, and I wish you would have said it this way, or you say this, but I wish you would have said more. And it's like, are you coming to church wanting to be shepherded, or are you coming wanting somebody to reinforce what you want to hear? And that's hard. And I don't want to make light of it, because people are searching for answers in a horrific situation.
I think, you know, the question was like, sometimes we hear like, we didn't do a good enough job, or we did a poor job. My question would be like, what do you mean by poor job, though?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Is it are we refusing to address something that we should address? Is it the intensity by which we addressed it or didn't address it? Like, you wish we would have addressed it more directly and intensely? Is it the context? Like, oh, we're doing a whole podcast now, but is that not enough? Because we didn't mention it on Sunday.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of layers to what somebody might mean by a poor job.
And that is true, because, you know, one specific frustration somebody has voiced is when Roe v. Wade was overturned, we didn't announce it on a Sunday morning. I'm like, we did a whole podcast on abortion.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like you're looking for something really specific, mm-hmm. and you're wanting it to happen in a specific time. Doesn't mean we're not addressing and shepherding our people, but fierce about Sunday is the uplifting of God's name, His word. It's interesting, even going back to Stephen as the first martyr. After that, Jesus shows up to Saul, mm-hmm. and is like, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he's like, "Who are you?" And it's like, well, he just had Stephen killed.
Right.
Why didn't Jesus say, "Why are you persecuting Stephen?"
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you give why didn't you talk more about? Because it's like, no, it's about me.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Even the death of my people are about me. And it's like, we're gonna make it about Jesus every time, and we want the disposition of John the Baptist of we need to decrease so that he increases.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Charlie Kirk is in heaven looking down and being like, "I wish they would have talked about me more, Jesus."
Right.
You know, like, can you believe this? They're talking about you more than me.
Yeah.
I'm the one that died. I mean, Christ was the one who's died. So there is a sense of, I expect politicians to be political.
Mm-hmm.
And you should expect pastors to be pastoral.
Yeah.
And the 24-hour news cycle is going to, they're going to examine, they're going to talk about it, they're going to talk about it, they're going to look at it from every angle. You come to church, guess who we're going to talk about and what we're going to focus on and dial in on. And that's not to say that you don't take cultural moments and point to it. So I don't want to create a dichotomy, because I don't think any of our people would be like, "I don't want you to talk about Jesus." That would be a mischaracterization of them. I don't think that's their heart at all. But wanting to know, like, it's what's enough? What would have satisfied? And if we're going to err, we're going to err to open
your
Bibles.
Which makes sense. I mean, like, if you're consistently through Sunday mornings, through classes, through podcasts, through articles, through whatever means you have, giving people God's word over time, hopefully their biblical worldview gets more solid.
Mm-hmm.
And so when stuff like this happens, yeah, you can address the situation, but because of months and years previous of addressing and communicating God's word, hopefully their reaction is more godly.
Yes, and patience is wise.
Right.
And personally speaking, it's like, okay, I knew a little bit about him. I didn't know a lot about him.
Right.
So I'm not going to be quick to get up there and just like, okay, let me talk to you about it. I'm not equipped to do that. And I think as a church, like, okay, we do need to talk about it. But there's so much pressure in our social media world to react and to react fast.
Yeah.
And you just got to jump on it because the news cycle goes quick and you miss it. And there's like, I don't think we, certainly as a church, but also as Christians, should feel like we have to keep the pace that the world sets for information and reaction.
It's almost like the world acts like James 1 says, be quick to anger and be quick to speak, right?
Yeah.
No, that's not what it says.
Yeah.
Right?
Very true.
Be slow to anger, be slow to speak, be quick to listen. And
yeah.
That pretty much hits our culture in the face.
That's what, like, I think I did the announcements at the 8 o'clock. I was just so eager to get to the text because I knew that, and it's like Daniel's response in the midst of death threats is calm down.
Yeah.
Slow down. Let's pray. Let's go to, and it's like, oh, we're going there. Like,
yeah.
So if it's like, hey, you missed an opportunity to shepherd our people, no. I'm going to stand and say, we didn't. Mm-hmm. We were faithful in that. Now, if you're saying we missed an opportunity to show more honor and respect to a brother who was assassinated, you could make that argument. Yeah. But I think in shepherding our people on a Sunday morning in that way, but knowing we do these things, it's like, all right, let's thankful for this medium where we could have another context to process with our people and help us think about it a little bit more with the intention that this is something that we do. So what would you tell somebody in our church that thinks we shouldn't have said anything?
Yeah. I mean,
because I had some people, it's like, oh, you went there.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I heard of a teacher in our congregation that was very thankful that we didn't go into detail about Charlie Kirk, because she's so passionate about the school system that if we would have talked about Charlie Kirk without talking about a school shooting, she was going to be really offended.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, man, it feels like you can't win in that situation. Not that we're trying to win, but I think that's the complexity of the issue. I know, like, my mom was helped out with a school district, like a secretary for the superintendent, and they had a school shooting. And so she's very passionate about school shootings every time she comes up, because she like had to work directly with that.
Yeah.
And so I get it. Like, it's just a hard place to be, but it's not wrong for us to address it. There's nothing sinful.
Yeah.
Like, the Bible speaks to cultural issues. We can speak to cultural issues. So there's nothing sinful or wrong by addressing something in the culture.
Yeah.
I think I'd pry a little bit in like, what's the heart behind the desire to not say anything? And if they're like, man, I am so glad that you guys didn't spend half an hour talking about the week's events. You got right to the text and it was just God honoring and very worshipful. I'd be like, great.
Yeah.
Right. If someone's like, I'm so glad you didn't say anything because I hate him. And he,
right.
Like that's a completely different conversation.
Sure, yeah.
Right. And so I think in a lot of these things, motive and heart matter so much that just blanket statements and you can't really address anything until you get beneath the surface.
Yeah. If there is a sense of like, I don't want you to say anything controversial, it might upset people.
Yeah.
That's not where. And hopefully our people have been around enough that we're not afraid to say hard things.
Yeah.
I mean, if you doubt that, come next Sunday. but there's a sense of we're passionate, passionate about the glory of God being exalted primarily on a Sunday. So if you flip that and be like, what would you say to the person at our church who's mad that we didn't say more? And I don't want to paint it like we just got bombarded with emails, because there's a few. And, if there's some people that feel that way, there's more people that feel that way. Whether we got emails or not, this is like a major event in our country that we want to process and talk about together. But for those that would be like, I wish you would have done more, what would you say to them?
I would ask, what does more look like? Because I think, I don't even know if half of them know what they wanted to see. I mean, just to be honest, like what... There was somebody, won't share names, but was wanting their family members were more receptive to the things of God because of the craziness that just happened the previous week, specifically with Charlie Kirk. And so they were just even saying like, I wish there would have been a Charlie Kirk sermon. It's like, I don't think that's what your family needs.
Yeah. And I mean, I can understand of like, boy, I'm really real and I'm coming to church. I want to hear my pastor. Help me, which I think we did by getting beyond the situation.
Yeah.
But I would want people to search their heart to say, if you were to come to church that Sunday and I got up there and said, hey, we're calling an audible, we're taking time out from Daniel, and I just want to give a message on five things we can learn from the life of Charlie Kirk, that he was exemplary. And we didn't talk much about Jesus. I would hope more of our people would be mad about that.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is kind of like, what are you? Yeah. And there is a sense of, I don't know if you guys remember, when did you get here, Matt?
3 years ago.
3 years
ago.
Yeah, I think there was a sense where 2020, there was a lot of division in our country, and we took some unpopular stands, especially if like some of the woke movement, mm-hmm. like, no, that's not lining up. And we lost some more left-leaning people in our church. And I remember at that conversation thinking, hey, tides change, and there can be a season coming where we lose more right-leaning people. Because at that point, in the mind of the left-leaning people, we weren't doing enough for that.
Yeah.
And is there a season where it's like, for the right-leaning people, are we not doing enough for that? Because right. politics is about power mm-hmm. and rallying power to advance your cause. And there's a maybe you tell me if this is a fair analogy. There's been certain situations where, let's say somebody is a very passionate charismatic, and they've come to our church, and they experience the alive worship. There's mm-hmm. passionate worship. There's people sing out. There's energy, and they love it. And they'll come down and they'll say something like this to me. You guys are so close, right? I mean, there's like, you're so close. Like, you just need a little bit more of the Spirit. And they have this like agenda, mm-hmm. and they see the platform and the power of authentic worship, and they're just wanting us to go a little bit further because that helps their agenda, their cause. I wonder the same in kind of a, which I would say like an ultra right, not God, family, country, but family, country, God type of thing. Like, if it's, man, I come here and you're reaching young people and the room's full and you share the same conservative values, the sanctity of life and the biblical marriage, and like, you guys are so close. Yeah. If you would just say this, if you would just platform, like, you could make such a difference for your cause. And, and it just like, our cause is raising up mature disciples, sending out everyday missionaries for the glory of God. And the Great Commission is different kind of political advancement where we're spreading theology,
right?
Not like in a advancing power, but in making disciples. And it's really like grassroots type of type of change.
I mean, we literally talked about that. You mentioned like the woke movement, and we in 2021, people would often say, yes, we believe in the Bible, but if you would just read this book, then you would get it. Like, we did read that book, and it actually was not lining up with scripture at all. But if you would just read this book, then if you would just, if you could just get to that point, then you guys would get it. Do we get it? Totally. No, like we don't understand everything, but like hopefully we understand the Bible. And not that we're trying to like say like, let's like, we don't want to please the far left. We don't want to please the far right. We just want to operate down the middle. Like that's not our goal, is to be just be moderate and operate down the middle. But our goal is like, we want to be about truth, the biblical truth. And we're going to stand on that and not, not grasp a hold of just everything somebody else is saying, because we have revelation from God through his word now.
Or the distortion of the agenda. Like, our agenda is not to make America great again.
Right. Sure.
Our agenda is not to save America. Our agenda as citizens of heaven is to advance the kingdom of God through the spreading of the gospel. Now, I think doing that is good for America and will make a better society to live in, but that's our agenda. And there's a sense of like maybe the merging of those two in a distracting way. Like, I was disappointed to hear, I don't know if my facts are straight because I just heard this. If it is true, I'm disappointed that the televised memorial service for Charlie Kirk is Sunday morning. And like, are you trying to replace? I mean, one of the messages that Charlie often says, go to church, find a church. And kind of this blurring lines between a worship service and a political rally.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not steal glory from God in any way. And if that's the case, it's I hope not. But
Jake, I remember you saying kind of in the midst of the COVID stuff, you said, I don't ever want to be found preventing the worship of our God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially on a Sunday. Like,
yeah.
And I was so grateful for that as a brother in Christ, as someone also that's submitting to leadership, just to go, man, one of my pastors cares more about the glory of God than anything else.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to tell our people. Yeah. Like, yes, not that we're saying don't care about our world,
right.
Just make sure your priorities are in order, mm-hmm. right? And the order is God, God, God.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Yeah. In the beginning, God. From the beginning, it's all been about God, and that doesn't change when our world gets hard.
Yeah. And I mean, to honor the little bit that I know mm-hmm. Charlie Kirk when I watched things, which I was like, man, amen, brother. Like, you're saying it.
Yeah.
But they talked about the Charlie Kirk effect, where this last Sunday a lot of people went to church. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
If God uses his death to bring people to himself, praise God. But the death of Charlie Kirk might get you to come to church, but the death of Jesus Christ will get you to stay.
Yeah.
And we want to not make this about another human being, but to use it as a pointer to our King.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Guys, this is hopefully none of these comments our conversation made light of a horrific event that we need to be praying for our country, his family. We need to operate in peace, knowing that God's sovereign. He was the day that Charlie Kirk was killed. He is today, and we should conduct ourselves with that peace.
We know that there's like nuances to this conversation. Like, it's three pastors talking right now.
Anytime you have a topic as broad as this or immigrant, I mean, you could talk for hours.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we're not.
So I'm sure there's been things even mentioned in this, like, we didn't agree. Like, that's not what we meant. Or,
right.
what,
sure.
You know, I get
totally.
It. Like, but right. we're just saying, as pastors, like, we have a calling mm-hmm. to shepherd the flock of God. And that calling is to point people to the one who will reconcile them back to God, and that's Jesus.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we provide to our people what we want from our people, and that is to always assume the best. And,
mm-hmm. sure.
and even the people that we heard from that were disappointed that they wanted more, it's like, I know they love Jesus.
Yeah.
I know that they want the advancement of the gospel,
and we love those people.
Oh, like, totally.
For you to send an email, I would much rather you send an email to us frustrated with us than go air it on social media. Why did my church do this? And maybe people did that. Yeah. I have no idea, but I'm grateful for
which would be very anti-Charlie Kirk, who is like, let's openly talk. Yeah, let's sit down.
So even though we may even disagree on it, like, I love our people.
Yeah.
I love our church
that
does care about Jesus above all else.
Yeah.
We're just trying to say, let's just shepherd and make sure we're not going down paths that we don't intend to go down.
Yeah. And it's a sweet place with really dear people. Another thing I would add in closing is there's going to be a lot of voices that try to stir up anger.
Oh, yeah.
And the confusing part is even at things that we should be angry about, when we see the evil in our world, but if we're really angry at the sins of our world, but not that bothered about the sins in our own heart, we're going to have problems. But when we're most angry at the sin in our own lives, that's the beginning of revival.
Mm-hmm.
So, church, hopefully this conversation was helpful. And be in prayer for us as a church, us as a country, and
us as leaders.
Us as leaders to navigate these things.
Yeah.
For sure. And as Michael, you talked about Sunday, if we could be like Daniel in this, where That's a stressful situation when mm-hmm. they're coming to kill all the people for not doing what the government wanted. And he was like, calm down. Give me a time. And they got on their knees and they prayed.
Yeah.
And God answers. He's faithful to prayer.
Which just points us right back to Jesus, right? Yeah. Like calm before Pilate, not saying anything, ultimately saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But endures his death. So there may be something that happens in our country that takes our lives.
Mm-hmm.
To live as Christ, to die is gain.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying we don't try to, like, if we see that coming, like, we don't, like make a stand. I'm not saying that, but, like, we're confident in life and death because mm-hmm. of Jesus and the way he responded.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's end this time with prayer, Mike. Would you just pray?
Sure.
And we'll sign off that way.
Sure. Lord, we are grateful for your word that gives us that lights our path in a world of darkness. We are grateful for a Savior. We are grateful for faithful people like Charlie Kirk who profess faith in Christ and live that out. And Lord, we pray for our church that we would always be most consumed and most devoted to loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we would be devoted to seeing you, God, glorified to the ends of the earth. God, this world is hard to shepherd people through, but you're not shocked by that. You're not surprised by that. So we need your wisdom. We need your discernment and guidance. And so help us to love our people well. Help us to shepherd the flock that you have entrusted to us well here. And may you be honored by the way that we do it. Pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.